The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Michael Fabiano, as we turn the page, now that the All-Star break is over, this is typically this day. Some people in our business will say is the slowest day of the year in sports. And I always say, no, if you work hard enough, you'll find things. You don't have to generate. We're not doing a list today. Lists. We're not doing Mount Rushmore today. We're not doing stuff that's like, oh, there's nothing going on. Or you're rolling in and doing a show. So let's do what is the greatest sports movie you've ever seen and all that stuff. No. If that's what you're looking for, I am sorry. You're in the wrong place. Michael Fabiano, because fantasy football drafts are starting to take place. People are getting back into their groove. Some parts of the country, it is still the dead of summer. Here in Arizona, high school started yesterday. That's how it works. Actually, school started yesterday in Chandler School District. That's where I am. It is the largest school district in the state. So yes, school is back in session, which means families are back from their vacations. It means guys are back at their workstations. They're checking out the show. They're saying, Brad, I'd give anything to talk fantasy football or hear some stuff from Fabs. So we'll have Michael Fabiano with us on today's show. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. If you've not checked out the TV show this week over on Bally Sports Arizona, we do TV, 16 episodes this week of Brad Sussmat Football AZ. It is over on Bally Sports Arizona. Just a little plug there. Check it out. It is on usually before and after the Diamondbacks, Suns, Coyotes, or weeknights, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, in the mornings with re-airs when you're at the gym and all that. So check that out. Kyler Murray got his contract done. Shock. Not shock. So Rodney Hudson being back is a bigger story to me. The quarterbacks are going to get all the news, and they're going to talk about the money. And just let me fill you in on this to be really clear. I'd say 6 months, 8 months, what Kyler Murray is being paid, which is reported $46 million per season, $230.5 million. Someone will top that and trump that in the next 6, 8, 10 months, because that's how it works. And it's just going to come down to simply this. He got paid. Now can they win beyond December 1st? Camp's going to open next week. You're going to hear the, we are excited to be here. It's great to compete. Sorry if you're one of those that doesn't want your balloon popped. Pretty easy how this is going to go. There's going to be who cares games. 3 weeks from today, the Cardinals have a who cares game where guys are trying to earn a living and are going to get hurt in games that don't matter because the NFL just flat doesn't care. And that's going to be in August. And then we'll get to the opener, and it's opening game. And what's Kyler Murray look like? That'll be interesting against Kansas City. And that's on September 11th. So that's how the next 6 weeks will go on this. And then we'll get to around, like I said, 1st of December. And then it's, well, are they going to crap the bed again, or are they actually going to push through? And then we'll see. It's kind of like DeAndre Ayton. You can say everything is great, put pictures up on social, make everything look great on social. And then it's, okay, can you actually play the game? So let's put all the social stuff over to the side. A far more interesting story to me today is that the Division I Council in college football, in college sports, is recommending that the NCAA get rid of the one-time part of its transfer rule. Anyone would be able to transfer and have immediate eligibility if they meet academic standards. Athletes could transfer multiple times. This is the newest thing. I am not happy here. It's kind of like back in the day, there was a player in the Chandler School District in a certain sport, and this player managed to go to all four at the time, all four Chandler schools. Of course, this person did. And I just thought, what a great story. They parked their fifth wheel over on one part, and then they went to another part, and then they went to another part, and they just shopped around until they found a place that fit them. Team? What's team? Forget about that. You know, I got to get mine. You know, loyalty is always up for sale when we come to sports, isn't it? You know, Henrik Stenson today got wiped out by him going to the LIV, and he's no longer captain of the European Ryder Cup team. They said, you're gone. Get out of here. Loyalty? What's loyalty? So now, can you just imagine? And look, at the end of the day, a football is going to be put into the belly of a running back. A quarterback is going to throw a touchdown or throw an interception. You're still going to have to block and you're still going to have to tackle. But we are going to see more crazy people that will blame, it's not my vibe, it's not my place, it's not my, and it's all part of building a team, right? It's all about building a team. You're going to see guys that'll say, oh, the coach got fired or the coach left, so I should have every right to go. And I agree with that. I do agree with that. But once again, people will take this rule to the nth degree. The minute a coach yells at a player or a position coach doesn't pay attention to their guy, or the position coach pays attention to another guy, and you have all the chirping going on with 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who don't know any better, can't make decisions, or they make poor decisions. And then they're going to say, yeah, you know, I'm out. And then they're going to go to one place. And then they're going to go to that place, and the same thing's going to happen. Or they're going to get injured, or there'll be a situation with a relationship that goes bad. And they're going to transfer there. And then they're going to go to another place. And they're just going to keep jumping around until they can find what they believe to be is the best fit for them. Loyalty, what's that? This shouldn't surprise me. This is a jaw dropper to me. This is a wow, where you are now going to be in a space which could be a benefit. You don't want to play for Bobby Hurley and you're Tayshaun Cherry and you're going to go over to GCU and it doesn't work out at GCU and you're going to go to someplace else, using the basketball as an analogy, then you're going to be free to do that. That's a wow to me. You know, those are really the two stories of the day. I think that the Diamondbacks releasing Dallas Keuchel and people hammering on the Diamondbacks, why? They tried it. It didn't work. So they move on from it. I'm fine with that. I'm not one of those guys that believes just bring up all the kids that aren't ready, especially pitchers. And so that story this morning, I had some people say, well, you know, are you going to get on the Diamondbacks case? No. What was the downside here? They tried him out, tried to get him with Brent Strom, tried to get him figured out. Didn't happen. Gone. See you later. They're 9 games out of the wild card, and the next week, Christian Walker will probably be dealt. And the next week, David Peralta will likely be dealt. There'll be others who will likely be traded away. It's just not that hard. But you don't want to gut the thing. What you don't want to do is say, you know, Joe Mantiply was really good for us here in Arizona out of the bullpen. He went to the All-Star game, and we just couldn't say no. We had to build for the future. Well, no, he is the future. Well, he's north of 30. Yeah, left-handed relievers that can get the job done on the open market, you may go get prospects, but I would be dead set against trading away a piece that will give me hope in 2023 to be better. They're better than they were last year. They're older, obviously. They've stockpiled some tremendous young talent. Time to get the financial clock ticking, Derek and Ken, Mr. Kendrick. Time to not worry about the service time. Time to get the guys here. Fans don't care about service time and getting clocks ticking in the arbitration process, and all of the business side. They want to see Corbin Carroll. They don't want him being held down in the minor leagues. They don't. Time to do it. We want to see Drew Jones here next year at some point in time. If he's ready, get him up here in September this year. I don't care. Give the fans, because season ticket renewals are coming in 3 weeks. And there's no reason to pretend anymore. We're in a spot in here in Arizona where we saw Paul Goldschmidt hit the home run the other night in the All-Star game. Terrible trade. Time to move on. Play the kids. You're better than you were last year. Next year, you'll be a little bit better. This year, I picked him to win 72 games. It's going to be a stretch. It's going to be a stretch. But maybe they get close to it. Maybe they finish in the high 60s. I'm okay. Next year, can they be around 500? Can they be a wild card contender next year? Can they do that? So a few interesting things going on. But on the other side, Michael Fabiano, our first deep dive with Fabs into the interesting offseason stories. If you're going to do a fantasy football party, because Fabs is part of that whole scene. He does cameos and all this stuff. He announces picks. It's pretty cool. He has all these side things that he does with fantasy. He is the Hall of Famer. But who's the player that is being taken way too early? what is the strategy around Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara this year, and Jimmy Garoppolo, now he's in the news, and other players as well? If you have the first pick and there's a quarterback, do you take Josh Allen or do you take Patrick Mahomes? I'm going to be real direct with Fabs. Is it Justin Jefferson or is it CeeDee Lamb? I'll be really direct with Fabs on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, it is just time to turn the page and get into fantasy football season. It is that time of year. Senior fantasy analyst at Sports Illustrated. Of course, you hear him on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. He is the one and only Fabs, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. We've not visited with him in a few months, but it's just time to get ready for your fantasy football parties and planning. What makes a good fantasy football party? What just destroys a fantasy football party?
I actually was just at a really good one. Trophy Smack, who they make amazing trophies and belts and other things for fantasy sports. And they had I don't know if you're familiar with the Scott Fish Bowl.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the official kickoff to the fantasy football season. They just had a party at their headquarters for a bunch of people who were drafting in the Scott Fish Bowl. And there were games and there were they've got a bowling alley. They've got two lanes in their headquarters. Now, this is on the higher end of really good party. They have, of course, had food and beer. And I'm not really a drinker, but, you know, I may have had one hard seltzer because that's about as hard as I go right these days. And, you know, draft board. And it just it was a really, really good time. But, you know, I mean, if you're folks out there, I know that a lot of people do the online thing, and that's fine too. But if you can get together, get a draft board, have some fun with it, almost like, you know, when you have a party for the Super Bowl, you get a bunch of food, you got some brew, you have a little bit of fun, maybe you videotape it. Hey, you know what? You can actually get me on Cameo to announce your draft order. Like, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there and pumping myself up a little bit in my Cameo, but those are also really fun things to do. The best drafts are the ones where you're actually together and you can talk a little trash and somebody snakes you on a pick. You can, you know, maybe throw a four-letter word out there. That's exactly where I'd like to be in all of my drafts. Unfortunately, I have to draft most of my teams online, but getting together and having that sort of experience is a lot of fun.
What kills a draft party?
You know what kills a draft party is, first off, being that guy who you're making your first pick and you're taking 10 minutes to make it. Or, you know, someone who just can't make up their mind and is the human, you know, draft killer.
The human rain delay. The human rain
delay. Be there. Right. Be there.
Be ready.
Prepared. And you know, if somebody takes a player that you had queued up or had picked, I mean, then audible. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. So also, too, I feel like a commissioner who sort of takes the job too seriously and implements rules that are somewhat comparable to that of a dictator, like, that's no fun either. So if your commissioner is kind of a hard ass, that, you know, obviously as a commissioner, as Mike Trout would tell you, it's a thankless job, but there are also ways where you can be the problem and you've got to have some fun and be the leader of the league that everyone else in that league wants and looks to. So those are a couple of things. And by the way, don't get hammered either. Like, if you want to get hammered, do it like after you're done drafting. Because nobody wants to draft with people who are out of their minds. And in the 13th round, they're trying to draft a guy that hasn't played football since 2013.
Right. No, I totally agree with you on that. The most fascinating player so far, because I know you're in drafts already, you've been a part of it. The guy that you're like, Brad, he is getting picked right and left very early, and this surprises me or raises my eyebrows. Is there a guy like that?
Doesn't surprise me, and this is going to come off as me being a homer, but CeeDee Lamb is rising. He's in my top five wide receivers right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's going at the turn now. I've seen him go at the turn of the first and second round. So if you're at the wheel and you like to go running back, wide receiver in the first two rounds, like, you can easily do that. And you know, maybe you can get Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, a player like that, a running back like that at the end of the first round. I mean, if you want that stud wide receiver, the guy who's going to have a breakout year, CeeDee Lamb is that guy. I'm also seeing, and it surprises me a bit, but overall, I'm kind of, I guess I expected this. Do you remember how, like, at the end of last season, everyone was like, I'm never drafting Christian McCaffrey again.
Yep.
He played 10 games the last 2 years, and he's killed me. Brad, he's like the number two guy now, consensus. Like, he's moved all the way up to two. I remember doing drafts after the season, and he was going 7, 8, or 9. First rounder, yeah. But 7. That has completely changed. People have totally forgotten, or maybe not forgotten, just don't care that he hasn't barely played in the last 2 years. And now he's a top three pick. And I guess that all depends on how much of a riverboat gambler you are. If you like to take risks, then if McCaffrey's there at 2 or 3, okay. I mean, the high end of that is he's going to average 25 points a game and lead you to the playoffs. The low part of that is that he gets hurt again and you're, you know, stuck with Deonta Foreman or Chuba Hubbard as the handcuff. So those two names have certainly popped. And you're also seeing some of the trades that happened in the offseason, like the big time trades, start to show exactly what they meant from a fantasy perspective. So Davante Adams was maybe, you know, top 5, top 8 pick in Green Bay. Now he's fallen to the back end of the first round. Tyreek Hill in Miami. Well, in Kansas City, he was a first round pick or at least a high second. Now I'm seeing him fall to the end of the second round. So we're seeing the results of those deals. Aaron Rodgers, he would have probably been a top 5 to 8 quarterback if Devontae wasn't traded. Now Rodgers is like a back end QB1. And so you're seeing the results of those blockbuster trades played out in some of these early fantasy drafts. I say most people should not be drafting their real teams until the middle of August.
He is the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, with us for a couple of minutes. Senior fantasy analyst, Sports Illustrated. You can hear him on Sirius XM afternoons, right? Across the country into the early evenings, right? You have a new time slot.
I do, yes. So Fantasy Dirt is now on 2 to 4 Eastern time on Channel 87, Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. It's me, Lindsay Rhodes, Amber Theo Harris. You know, it's like a reunion from our NFL Network days. And the show is a lot of fun. You know, we always have great guests on there. I still haven't gotten Danny White. I know it's like he lives in the middle of nowhere and he has no cell. I got to text him because Danny White, and you know this, I've loved Danny White. I met him at the Cowboys Chargers game at SoFi. He was great. He was great with my son, Matthew. I love to get him on. So, you know, if you talk to Danny, try and get him on. But this week, we're going to have Michelle Beadle on the show. I put together a few years ago this Ladies Only League with a lot of really big names from women's sports and women's sports reporting. And Michelle's going to be in that league this upcoming season. And we're going to actually have a sponsor in Trophy Smack because I like to play in as many leagues for charity or create as many leagues as I can that benefit charities. And that's going to be a fun league. So, yeah, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 Eastern, me, Amber, and Lindsay chopping it up. Talking fantasy, having some fun, probably getting in a little nonsense as well.
That's nonsense is good. Let me run a few names by and I'll get you out of here because you went into Hopkins already. Alvin Kamara strategy, getting that from fans. Jimmy Garoppolo strategy, getting that
right
from fans. You already addressed McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Those two players.
So for Kamara, I got to be honest. I wish I knew what was going on with the off-field stuff because remember there was a report maybe like a month ago that he was going to be suspended 6 games. I haven't heard anything since. Right. And you would think that the league wants to let the Saints know before camp what the situation is. Now, the reason that they haven't said anything could be because the cases could end up not even being heard until like after the season is over. So he may not get suspended at all this season, or he could get 6 games. So, like, Kamara's always been a first-round pick, right? I mean, ever since his second year, he broke out as a rookie. I don't know that he's a first-round pick. I don't know if he's a second-round pick right now. I've actually been in drafts where he's fallen to round 3. And if you can get him in round three, I think he's worth the risk there. And if he doesn't get suspended, well, holy cow, did you get yourself a steal? So once again, you know, kind of like the situation with like a McCaffrey or a Saquon, if you're willing to take the risk, then you go ahead and get Kamara. But I simply don't know when he'll be back and if he'll be suspended at all. And then
Garoppolo,
the other player you mentioned, which there's news about him recently, is Jimmy G. Now the Niners can potentially trade him. I don't see him being draftable right now in a traditional one quarterback league. I don't know where he's going to land. Honestly, like, think about it. If the Seahawks aren't interested, and why would the Niners trade Garoppolo to a team in their same division? If the Browns aren't interested, where does that leave them? Right? Texans, maybe? But maybe. They seem to be in on Davis Mills to see, you know, what they have in him. And do you want to take on Garoppolo's contract? I mean, yeah, he's a good quarterback, but if you like a kid who's going to cost you basically, you know, nothing on a rookie deal, I don't know. I don't know where he would go. You know, maybe a quarterback gets hurt in camp and then boom, like that ends up being a deal. I'm in several 2QB leagues, right? Super flex leagues. And I've drafted Jimmy G once or twice late just because, hey, maybe he'll land someplace where he'll be the starter. And at that point, there wasn't much left on the board. But this also, and I think Trey Lance is going to be the starter for the 49ers. He's one of my favorite sleeper types. I don't think there's going to be any sort of issue there. But, you know, if Shanahan has Garoppolo in camp and Garoppolo is good to go with the shoulder and it seems like he's going to be, you know, he could try and motivate Trey Lance and say, hey, you got to, you know, sing for your supper here, man. You got to win this job. So in a 2QB league, Garoppolo is worth a late flyer. Other than that, I probably wouldn't draft him right now. But if there were more teams that really like needed a quarterback, I'd maybe be a little bit more optimistic on him. Outside of somebody getting hurt, though, or a team changing its mind, I don't know where he's going to go, Brad.
Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, if you're taking the first quarterback and they're both there, Mike.
Oh, it's Allen all day long. In fact, I'm writing a case against Patrick Mahomes, which I do every year. I write articles that are somewhat contrarian, playing the devil's advocate. And with Tyreek Hill gone, that's about 34% of Mahomes' fantasy points since 2018. And it's about 35% of his big pass plays since 2018. Those are the pass plays that are 20 plus yards or more.
Right.
That's a lot. And Juju Smith-Schuster is not a field stretcher in his durability issues. MVS can be a field stretcher, but I mean, he had Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So like, what kept him from being a big playmaker for the Packers? I mean, they had Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams together for a long time. They both put up pretty good numbers. I know Davante was the guy there, but MVS was really inconsistent. And then you bring in Sky Moore, who's got all the upside in the world, but you know, he played in a Division I subdivision, you know, with North Dakota State. He's going to need time to acclimate to the pros. Like, that's a big leap. So I would take Allen all day long, 10 times out of 10. And to be honest with you, like, I don't like to take quarterbacks early. You know that. If Mahomes fell to me, like, in the fifth round, maybe I'd take him. But, I mean, not that I'm worried that Mahomes will bust, because that's not going to happen. But could he drop a point or two per game compared to the 21 ballpark he averaged last year? I think it's quite possible without Tyreek Hill.
Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb are both sitting there at the same time. Put your cowboy homerism.
No, I will.
Do the slide.
So like, oh, here we go. They're wearing this helmet, like, apparently on Thanksgiving. By the way,
here we go.
The only reason I want to talk to Danny White.
Here we go.
Why won't the Cowboys bring back the old royal blues from the late 70s? Those are the best uniforms the Cowboys have ever had, all right? And I like the ones with the star on the shoulder, but those were the best. And Danny wore that uniform for a few years while he was behind Staubach, and then they went to the navy blues.
Yes.
Danny's got a lot more clout with the Cowboys than I do. Bring those damn jerseys back. They're so great. Everyone's bringing the jerseys back, right? The Giants are bringing the old 80s jerseys back. The Patriots are bringing the red to pat the Patriots, which, by the way, I absolutely love, right? You're going to have some creamsicles in Tampa Bay. these teams, and then some of the cool, like the Saints are doing a black helmet, like a black mat. Carolina's doing the same thing. The Texans are doing like this red helmet. Come on, Cowboys. Like, get with the program.
Justin Jefferson.
You can only pick one. I have Justin Jefferson ranked twice, ranked second among wide receivers. I would not be surprised if he's number one wide receiver in fantasy football, because Cooper Kupp has a very hard act to follow. He's going to regress. Like he'll regress 6 or 7 points per game and still be a top five wide receiver. That's how crazy good he was last year. But when you bring in Kevin O'Connell, an offensive mind who comes from the Sean McVay tree, giddy up. Like, Justin Jefferson could absolutely explode this year, maybe better than he has been in his first 2 years. Remember, O'Connell comes from that McVay tree. McVay was an offensive coordinator for the Redskins way back when, right? Who was their quarterback? Kirk Cousins. He was a QB5 and a QB8 back-to-back years with McVay as the offensive coordinator. Who's the quarterback in Minnesota right now? Kirk Cousins. They're going to throw the football a lot. They're going to move Dalvin Cook out, put him into the slot at times. This is going to be a fun offense to watch, a very fantasy-friendly offense to watch. And, oh, by the way, O'Connell was in L.A. last year when Cooper Kupp broke the record for the most fantasy points scored in a single season by a wide receiver. Justin Jefferson. I have been in drafts, Brad, where Jefferson goes ahead of Cooper Kupp, and I wasn't surprised at all. Not at all.
It's a very compelling case. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time. As always, we'll chat soon. Thanks.
All right, my friend. Take care.
There's Michael Fabiano. You can find all of his content over at Sports Illustrated, Senior Fantasy Analyst, and SiriusXM Fantasy. They're 2 to 4 Eastern Time. We're back with more after this timeout.